Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wait.
Yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
It's that fire you couldn't put out with a water hydrant. It's that fire you couldn't put out with a water hydrant.
This is a cocaine campaign.
It's that fire you couldn't put out with a water hydrant. It's that fire you couldn't put out with a water hydrant. It's that fire you couldn't put out with a water hydrant. It's that fire.
I'm not the passive type, I don't take the threats lightly. I'm about getting to these bags, you ain't gotta like me. We all know how certain dudes be moving shiesty. Rockin' fake jewels on, but they look icy. I survived the tunnel when niggas try to slice me. Niggas knew I was hot, but they wouldn't sign me. I can smell certain cats still talking grimy. Been waiting on the same motherfuckers to try to try me. You know who you are, you'll never go bar for bar. I've been battle tested, let's go scar for scar. Fuck asking for help, I'm going out for self. Y'all niggas better talk to your man about mental health. I know a few of you niggas who did it to self. A nigga worth a billion but still taking an L. And fuck G, man, I'd rather not sip the water. And when you serve a nigga, please don't fuck up the order.
It's that fire you couldn't put out with a water hydrant. It's that fire you couldn't put out with a water hydrant. It's that fire you couldn't put out with a water hydrant. It's that fire you couldn't put out with a water hydrant.
Most these niggas don't wanna feature, they too intimidated. I burn a booth, spit fire, the mic incinerator. Where I'm from, I'm the innovator. They just imitators, rap renovator. Time to get rid of these infiltrators. They say I'm a breath of fresh air, no ventilator. Ones that I did the most favors for be my biggest haters. This a flame you can't tame. For rainy days we shower in champagne. While you niggas out here frontin' with your man Shane. Grew up in a different era, you saw that Cinderella. I ball like Clint Capella, my claw is in a cellar. Too many to fit in my closet, skeletons in the cellar. And I'm the hottest nigga, hotter the slopes that did it ever. Name a nigga better. My punches on Conn and McGregor. Ain't played no game since I was on a Sega. Everything I spit, Mon Decker. Right now I'm on a level that the gods treasure.
It's that fire you couldn't put out with a water hydrant. It's that fire you couldn't put out with a water hydrant. It's that fire you couldn't put out with a water hydrant. It's that fire you couldn't put out with a water hydrant. It's that fire.
minute, episode 487 of the most live and most direct show on the hip-hop web, Off the Cuff Radio. I'm your host, King Eric, the media assassin, and this show is sponsored by Da Vinci Clothing, Cocaine's Buddy Boy Entertainment, Fleetwood and the Cot Pickers, Jesse's Boutique, and Core Financial. Got my host, T-Max, with the facts in the building, representing BA.
What it do, what it do, y'all. Two up, two down, all around the sound. 757 represented as I, T-Max, the co-pilot, along with your head pilot, King Air of the Great. This is a Super Sunday, starting off the week right, Off the Cuff Radio. Let's get it. And King, tell everybody about the living legend we got on air tonight.
Man, let me tell y'all something, man. This is a special show for a good reason. First of all, to celebrate Easter. Happy Easter to everybody that's listening to the show.
Yes,
we got a special one on deck. This man right here, I wanted to bring on the show because this guy's contributions to the game is so noteworthy. And he worked and respected by a lot of your favorite rappers. We talking Busta Rhymes, Remy Martin, Diplomat, Saigon, Mobb Deep, Big Pun, and many others. Work ethic is crazy. This man literally dropped 10 albums recently. No work, no sleep. So without further ado, and to tell us his story and let us know where he's going for 2022, we got Brad Piff, a.k.a. Swagalaw, a.k.a. Aguilar, the Don Bishop, man. What's good, bro?
Brownsville, stand up.
Yo, what's good, what's good? Off the cuff, man. Thank you for having me. You already know Propane. We back strong 2022. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing. Ain't, you know what I mean? We knocking on everybody's door with it. You know what I'm saying? We coming to collect. You know what I mean? The respect, the accolades. We coming to collect. We on everybody's door. You know what I mean? I'm at everybody, all your favorite rappers' door that did show the love throughout the years. I'm at their door. All the industry people who doubted me, I'm at their door. All the fake friends in the industry that I had throughout the years, I'm at their door in 2022. Where am I?
Man, look, Aguilar, this is an honor. Yeah, man, it's a privilege. Dude, for those that don't know, you've been around a long time. And me personally, you know, watching you just, you know, persevere through your career, of course, when you went off as Adolf as the Assassin back in the day with the Ghetto Girl video, that was my first introduction to you personally back in 1995.
I'm still Adolf, but as an artist, you got to learn how to resurrect yourself. Today's the day of resurrection. You know what I mean? They say it is. So if Jesus resurrected on this day, I should be able to resurrect anytime I want. You know what I mean? I should resurrect my career, like my career. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, I walked through the park already. I've been dog walked through this game. You know what I mean? Now I'm doing a dog walking. You know what I'm saying? It's a difference. Like you gotta. I've been out here 30 years. I ain't never get a Grammy. I ain't never get an Academy Award. I've been around all the best. They all sucked my energy. You know what I mean? Took my energy, ran with it, put it on their albums. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, now, like, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? I'm gonna just say better late than never for a dude like me to wait. I've been putting in work now. People are recognizing it, you know, with the social media and all that. But we've been legendary, you know what I mean? Before Instagram, you know what I'm saying? Let's keep this a beam, you know what I mean? Like, I've been doing this a long, long time since, you know what I mean? A long time. And I feel like, you know, anytime I come with some heat, the gang gets scared, you know what I'm saying? Like, they don't want to let me in. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? They don't want to let me in because they know I'm coming with a vengeance, so I got to make my own way. I got to make my own tours. I got to get my own artist to pitch in on the tour. I got to do my own merch. I got to do everything. You know what I mean? I got to be the security. I got to be the promoter. I got to be the director of the situation because nobody ain't got that leadership that I hold. So I feel like, you know what I mean? It's a lot weigh on my shoulders. A lot of people counting on me.
Definitely. Now, when you think
That's
about
what
that,
it,
we
is,
talk about,
man.
Yeah. So we talk about the game in terms of how much you've contributed to it, you know, over three decades in. I guess we break it back to the beginning, man. I mean, tell us about your origins, you know, and what inspired you. And what you talked about, the Grammys and, you know, all those AMAs and the Billboards, all those things that artists get. We're going to get to that later on because we want to talk about how – from your opinion, Adolf, you know, how the criteria of hip hop has changed in terms of the cronyism, the buddy-buddy, the nepotism, everything that is involved in terms of how artists get that push, because you're dope and we know that. But we want you to tell us your story from the perspectives of where everything started to when you got in the game, people you met along the way, and then how things changed along the way from then to now. Please go ahead.
Definitely great question, because it's been a shift of the brotherhood. If you look at hip hop, you know, over the three decades of it, the old school, the golden era, and the new school, and the now. We're going into the fourth era of hip hop. And, you know, basically, I feel like my origin comes from when nobody believed in it. I was in the mix of, you know, the young cats underneath Run DMC, Public Enemy. You know, I was underneath all that, watching that grow. You know, watching the Rakims come along and watching the Kings come along and watching the KRS-Ones come along, which had a, you know, which all had, you know, that message of, you know, let's bring peace, you know, instead of war and all that. You know, it was a lot of that back then, because the 80s was very brutal. You know what I mean? Especially in New York, it was brutal, 80s and 90s. If you don't know about the 80s and 90s in New York, you couldn't do
that
what you're doing
New
right
York.
Now.
Yeah.
And that era, this
New
era
York.
Wouldn't survive in that. This era would not survive in that era. I'm sorry, it would not. Because at the end of the day, it was more wilder. It was more chaotic in New York at that time for you to try to survive. You said something wrong, you got jumped. You came in the wrong neighborhood. It was, you know what I mean? It was different morals. You understand what I'm saying? That was held high. The morals were more held high back then. Today, the morality of hip-hop artists went at an all-time low in this year.
Yeah, and what you talk about, Adolf, in terms of, you know, yeah, I mean, and preach, Bishop, because it's like when King and myself are older, so we know about that area that you're referring to in terms of, like, the days of Team Supreme, you know, of course, you know, representing Queens. I mean, all those guys, you know, coming up, of course, Pistol Pete, you know, from the Bronx, Soundview, SMM.
I'm familiar with Pistol. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm familiar with the Soundview projects. I'm familiar.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, you know, the original Terror Squad, you know, Fat Joe and all those guys, you know, Pistol Pete from there, you know, Rich, you know, all those guys, you know, 141st and Cypress and all that. So it's like that era was, whoa. I mean,
it was a jungle in that era.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
what did you...
And you got to understand, you know, these are real, you know, the rappers, you know, used to emulate the drug dealers and the killers, you know, with the gear. You know, the fly gear, you know, like, you know, there's stories, you know what I mean? Like, God bless the dead, Alpo. One day, you know, Alpo and Rich Porter, you know, they wore that Dapper Dan, you know, label a lot. You know, whatever Dapper Dan made, a lot of rappers wanted to look like Rich Porter and they wanted to look like Alpo, you know? And you know, that's where that look came from. The drug dealer started all that look with the Dapper Dan look. So, you know, the streets had their own way of, you know, through fashion, through art. You know, I was around all that, the start of all that, you know what I'm saying? Like rocking Bally's and all that. And, you know, when I was young, you know, I looked up to Run DMC a lot, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, my life is surreal because I wound up going on a world tour with them later on in my life, you know what I'm saying? But when I was younger, they were really a driving force for me because I didn't come up in the Cold Crush ever. I respect the Cold Crush, but I felt Run and DMC was more speaking for my generation at that time. And you know... We come from Brownsville. I'm from, you know, Brownsville. I grew up with Mike Tyson. I grew up with Shannon Briggs. I grew up with Riddick Bowe. We all, you know, from the same area.
What about M.O.P.?
You know, shout to Shannon Briggs. Shout to my brother Shannon Briggs. He witnessed me at a very early age struggling, you know, rapping through the hood, you know what I'm saying? And you know, we watched each other, you know what I mean, struggle to get to our dreams, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I wanted to be a boxer. I wanted to play basketball, you know what I'm saying? I just don't rap, you know what I mean, and make beats. I do sports too. So at the end of the day, like, you know, my career in basketball took me but so far, but, you know, I just went to, you know, the studio and kept the dream alive on that mic and making this music, you know, and here I am today, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. I mean, of course, you know, Brownsville got legends. I mean, of course, like M.O.P., shot the Lil Fame and Billy Dance. I mean, of course, for those who don't know, Shannon Briggs, you know, world champion boxer, one of the best ever. That dude,
my brother,
man.
My brother for life. My brother.
Yeah, man.
Okay, you bet. And, you know, we're trying to do something for our neighborhood right now, too, you know. If, you know, we're trying to help the neighborhood, Brownsville, you know, by getting a boxing gym. You know what I'm saying? And raise money for the boxing gym and all that. We was trying to get Mike Tyson to fight Shannon Briggs so they can do something for the neighborhood because they both champions. Since Mike want to get back in the ring these days, we felt like it would be nice if Mike, you know, did something like a charity event for the neighborhood because we got a lot of kids getting killed. You know, I just walked through the neighborhood the other night. It's chaotic. You know what I'm saying? I still walk through my neighborhood sometimes, you know what I mean, just to reflect on where I come from.
Definitely.
Yeah, man,
when
you
did think
a song,
about...
and you did, yeah, I was going to say too, man, you did a song like about the old New York and how New York isn't the same anymore, man. Do you see any changes where you were, like such as gentrification playing a role on why the music ain't really hitting like it was? Has the energy changed that bad?
Well, it's a lower frequency. You know what I mean? When you hear the music, you hear that 808 in a lot of this music, it creates a low frequency that messes with the chakra messes with your chakra, too. It brings your chakra low. And you don't know about the science. See, when you're dealing with music, it's a high science. People don't just think it's, you know, melodies and all that. It's a high science when you're dealing with frequency. So, you know, if people want to, you know, take that, you know, for what it is, you know, you look at what it's doing to the, you know, look at what it's doing to the community. You know, let's talk about it. You know, look at the young rapper, King Vaughn. Look at these young rappers. They die every day. I can't name how many rappers died in the last 3 years over violence. Black-on-black crime in hip-hop is at an all-time high. So,
yeah, man.
I feel like this music ain't doing nothing but the music right now ain't doing nothing but create confusion, and the frequency is making everybody feel at a low and ain't making everybody feel at a high format. For some, yeah, maybe I don't know, but the way I look at it and view it, you know, it's the morality's low. You know, you got 6ix9ine coming out doing new videos back in the neighborhood with cats showing like who could be cool around a snitch. I don't know. I would feel very, very awkward. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, we saw that video. Yeah. We saw them young boys looking around like when the drive-by gonna pop up and start popping because, you know, I mean, because it was like, you know, Aguilar, I mean, you're right because we can talk about that for a minute. You know, this is an issue with 6ix9ine. Shameless plug for Sean Sotero, who wrote the book Dummy Boy, The Rise and Fall of Tekashi 6ix9ine, Shadow Complex Magazine, with who he's employed with. If y'all have not read that book, pick it up. Because when we read it, it was like to watch how everything started with Tekashi, because this was just a kid who, like anybody, you know, wanted to be a rapper, you know, and can we hate him for that? No. But he got himself involved in something that ultimately he didn't understand, you know, and it just was, that book was a cautionary tale about your dreams and chasing them, but at what cost does it come? And now he's trying to come back out again, acting like everything's sweet. I'm like, dude, don't act like we forgot about what you did and all the people that went down with you. Now, they were you know, integral in their own fall as well. They were devices in a machine that ultimately had that monkey wrench thrown in it, but ultimately you make your own decisions on it. What you said, Agala, about where the frequency is in terms of music, you know, in terms of how it's being constructed, how it's being distributed, marketed, you're right. Because the era we came up in, it really was feel good. Even when it was hardcore, real, you know, street shit, it was like it still had a vibe to it that didn't necessarily promote negativity, but it was the epitome of reality.
Sonically.
And now it's like, yeah.
Yes,
and
you know, this is my problem with this industry is that, you know, a lot of these dudes don't have the respect for the greats. They don't. A lot of them don't respect the greats that did it before them and won't reach out to them. You know, people don't reach out to the greats, which really is a disturbing factor in hip-hop. Because the age factor, or because they ain't heard the person music in a long time, or the presence factor. But the greatness always been there for a lot of these artists in hip-hop that, you know, came before a lot of these new dudes. Where is, you know, right now, like, I'll just say, you know, I'm not hating on none of these young cats. I'm not, but, you know, I'm gonna just say, you know, like, how would y'all feel if somebody disrespected y'all moms or y'all pops?
We wouldn't like it, right?
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying. Like, you know, I just feel like ain't no respect for the GOATs, which should be, you know what I mean, very correct. Like in New York, like you was asking me about New York. New York lost its identity, you know what I mean, as far as I feel like what we represent as a culture, you know what I mean? Like the sound in New York, you know what I mean?
Where do you think, that change started coming?
Well, it came when, you know, I would say 50 Cent, because he started changing his voice, making himself sound like he was from down south. You know what I mean? And he had, like, we don't sound like we from down south of New York. You know what I mean? I'm not disrespecting 50 at all. I love him, you know, but I just feel like he did something different that a lot of dudes caught on to and wound up, I feel like, kind of running with it almost, because he was that hot of an artist when he popped out. But, you know, he versatile his flow, and he did that, you know, and it was cool. But, you know, certain beats I feel like don't represent the New York sound at all, and a lot of people are on it. They got, you know, the drill thing going on now. You know, the new artists out right now that are doing drill in New York, trill, whatever you call it.
Yeah, drill
basically,
music.
Basically,
yeah.
I feel like, basically all that music, I feel, is gang-related. It's all gang-related. It ain't really about the music. It's about some street shit. You know what I'm saying? It's about street stuff and, you know, gang stuff and violence. You know what I mean? And I feel like the only thing these young dudes, the only thing they going to respect is violence. So that's why you got a lot of deaths going on in hip-hop, because anybody on some real disrespectful pointing guns in the Instagram camera, you know what I mean, holding big stacks of money to your ear like you really making a phone call, calling the feds, who you call,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
and what you said, Agla, you know, definitely is something that we feel, because we're ambassadors of the culture, we're children of the culture, we take it very seriously, and we're never going to be the type, and we're not saying you're saying this, but we're never going to be the type to censor any type of hip-hop, but we have, you know, through the hundreds of shows that we've done, the countless artists we've talked to, you know, the conversations we've had on and off air with them, there is a real palpable concern, because there seems to be a muse. Because back in the day, there was always diss records. We know that. You know, of course, you know, LL and Kool Moe Dee, you know, they had their little beef. Of course, MC Shan, you know, KRS, they had their little, you know, back and forth. But it was never anything to where you felt like that it was actually going to escalate into real violence. You never had that impression. And now And we're not taking shots at Chicago Sanders because this is pretty much where drill originated. But now you have a situation where the streets are really bleeding into the music, where the music came from the culture of the street and hip-hop. But now it's like these guys have taken it up another notch in terms of, like, they really, really are broadcasting, like, yo, we going to do something to somebody. And a lot of heads don't understand. You get what you give. You give out bad energy or you give out threats, you're probably going to get retaliation. You know,
you bring that energy. If you bring that energy, you're correct. You're totally correct about that. And, you know, I don't know where the silver line is for a lot of these artists to make it out. This game is turned to the drug game. You can't stay in it forever. You got to get in, get your bread, take your bread, and get out, get to another business. Because as long as you're in a rap game, it's a threat to a lot of other artists when you're in it and you're like stopping their bread. So many people eating off music, you know what I mean, that you don't want to step on no toes. Like, I'm going to just give y'all an example. Mm-hmm. Atlantic Records,
what?
Recently there was a story that Kodak Black, he was telling the record label execs to drop T.I. off the label.
Does he have that juice to do that? And I'm saying that sarcastically.
If he's selling records, I don't know. T.I. got a lot of record sales too. But he actually tried it. You never know, because you know what? If he's a hot artist, why would a label jeopardize that money when T.I. ain't making them no money at the moment? If you know what I mean, you got to think about that.
Right, right.
These crackers don't care at the label. They don't care. Every label needs urban music to survive. That was, I quote the Universal Music Group president. I don't know his name, but he's the president of Universal Music. He said
mm-hmm.
that no label will survive without urban music. Doug Morris said that no label will survive without urban music. So they got to use urban music to push the narrative. You understand? And that's why they do that. That's why you got a whole bunch of dudes in the game making that kind of music. It's like the drug game. They're making that same music, the same sound of music that's controlling the narrative.
And you're right, Agala, because when we think about the situation, we see where the music is different in terms of what's being pushed. When we think
Go ahead, please. Look at Alchemist, right? I've been in as long as Alchemist has, you know, doing beats and rhyming and all that. We've been on Tommy Boy together. They ain't know what to do with us. You know what I'm saying? I went to Elektra back then and, you know, got another deal after I was let go from Tommy Boy. But this game is not designed. The industry is a horrible place. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to have a big factory running with mad workers like Dr. Dre in the studio with about 10 dudes in there making one beat. I'm good on that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I'm good on that. I just want, you know what I mean? I just want my little studio, my artists, the people I work with, I could put them out, do my label, and live independently like a micro brewery. I don't got to do all that extra shit in the rap game as it's doing, try to be, to make myself feel relevant. You know what I'm saying? I know my shit dope. You know what I'm saying? So I don't have to, I don't have to do the factory thing when it comes to putting out records, you know what I mean? You know, you just want to take it, you know, I put out 10 albums, but I chilled out. I was like, I ain't going to put out all this music no more like that. That's probably once in, you know what I mean? One time, you send them with, you know, a lot of that work, and then now I'm pacing myself for this next album, The Year of the Tiger.
And it's wild, man.
Yeah, man, you was
you
on that print
about,
shit with that, bro. Yeah, you was on that print shit with that, dropping the 10 albums like that. And the cool part was they were consistent work. A lot of people don't have that type of work ethic and make it consistent.
Right.
It's wild, yeah. Man, because when you – yeah. I mean, but just when you were talking about how the game is in terms of, you know, the micromanaging and everything and how Doug Moore said that, you know, urban music is what the fuel is, it's wild because we came up right in the nascent era. You know, hip-hop as we know it started – Afrika Bambaataa gave it its name, you know, ultimately, but it really started going back to Gil Scott-Heron, you know, going back to the late 60s, early 70s in terms of what was rap, even if you take it further back with James Brown. You know, just in the 80s, it really caught fire. And even then, they tried to say marginalizing, you know, the culture of people of color, you know, black and brown specifically. They were trying to say that it would never last. And look what it did. You
right.
know what I'm saying? You know, and now it's the lifeblood.
I feel like we, you know, I'm Puerto Rican. You know, that's my culture. That's not my race. You know what I mean?
Right.
Puerto Rico is not a race. It's a culture because, you know, we got Africa there. We got, you know what I mean, Spain there, whatever. You know what I mean? And, you know, native people there. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
Whole thing is, like, you know, when you got a culture like hip-hop, it became Americanized. We didn't protect it enough in New York. You know what I mean? Being that it came from New York, whatever, whatever. Now it has become Americanized. Now they're trying to erase the history, which is you gotta take notes. Watch them try to erase the history. And that's why I stay focused on letting them know. Nah, bro, you ain't gonna do that to me. I'm a goat in this. I'm a billy goat in this. You know what I mean? It's the difference between a goat and a billy goat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
and
I just feel like, you know, I already know where you know, my work, what I've done in this game, the stamp I put down, and that's all I'm worried about is Propane Campaign. Everything else, secondary. You know what I mean? My focus is strictly on, you know what I mean, making the world know that we here, we in hip hop, we made a lane, we still on that same lane and continuing greatness, and that's all we here to imprint. You know what I mean? The music, the whole aura, the whole vibe. You know what I mean? It's just on a higher level. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not going, you know, put myself at a level where I know that, you know. Dudes ain't paying attention. I know dudes is paying attention. So I got to stay in the lab, keep doing what I'm doing. I just got off, you know what I mean, the second date of my tour, the Tiger Tour. You know, right now, we getting a lot of good love. Thank all the people showing the love because, you know, we need the support, the continued support. And, you know, that's really what it is, man. When we come around to your state, we not just showcasing hip hop, we showcasing brotherhood, loyalty, honor. You know what I'm saying? We showcasing that too. You know what I mean? And you know, we always can get with the people, you know what I mean? We talk with the people, we build with them, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? We're not your average rappers, man. We you know what I mean, we more connoisseurs of the culture.
How important is it for artists to interact with their fan base?
Well, that's very important. These people, you know, pay their hard-earned money to go watch you. They, you know what I mean? They'll come out in the rain. Like, my last show was outside at a festival, and it rained, but people still stood in the rain and watched me, and I killed it. You know, and anybody that could do that, could stand in the rain, wait outside for you, you know what I mean? It's only right for you to go show them love, you know what I mean, and get that blessing, you know, because, you know, a lot of artists, you know, be busy, you know, and, you know, it's a time for everything, you know. I know a lot of people, you know, fans come up to me sometimes, be wanting a picture. I can't take the picture right then and there, but I do say, yo, man, much love, man, thank you, you know what I'm saying? I don't act ignorant or nothing, but sometimes I don't want to take the flick. I just say nice, you know, not right now, my man. I got some handling, you know what I mean? But, you know, at the end of the day, I still build with the people and I still show love because, you know, that's what it is. I'm a person. I don't want to be isolated even though this world is crazy. But, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? You just got to take it as it comes. And it's very important to build your social awareness, but you gotta build it on your you gotta build it on basically what you got. Don't worry about budgets. Don't worry about that. Using word of mouth is still a strong form of promotion. So, you know, and when I'm in the streets, I'm like, you know what I mean? I release them. You know, people will remember it. And then spread that word around. Tell them to spread the word. If they like your music, spread the word. You know, Premier just played me and Skip Live joint, The Fire. I heard y'all play it before the interview. So, you know, whoever hear that joint, tell them Aguilar and Skip Live got a banger called The Fire out. You know what I mean? Spread the word, man. You know what I mean? You ain't always got to go on DMs and hit people up and do all that computer stuff. You know what I'm saying? Start using that word of mouth again.
Exactly. The word of mouth travels fast.
Now, do you think a lot of times, artists this day and time try to use social media as a shortcut to marketing as opposed to real grassroots, getting down in their interactions, and most of all, having good music that really is a product that pushes the weight?
Well, say that again.
I said, do you think part of the problem, in this day and time is that artists use social media a lot of times as a cheat code to push the product that makes the weight in terms of they really...
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. They use social media as a monetizer. So there's all of these algorithm apps that you can use. You know, now, you know, all kinds of applications and different AIs that, you know, you can use on your social to up your awareness. But you might still be whack as an artist with a million views.
When you look at the game today, definitely. Go ahead,
Like, because you can pay for it now. All right, excuse me.
You're good.
I'm going to just show you something. I ain't going to say this rapper name because I don't want to say his name. I ain't, you know, disrespecting nobody. But the dude got like 4 million something followers. He's a well-known rapper.
Mm-hmm.
He's a legend. Right? And he ain't whack. And he ain't whack, right?
Right.
But when you go to his live feed, when he go live, he only got about 300 and something followers on there out of the 4 million followers that he supposedly has.
Right, right.
Something ain't right. Them numbers don't add up. Why your live got 300 people watching when you got 4 million people on your account following? It should be way more followers on your live if you got 4 million. Why only 300-something people watching when you're supposed to have 4-something million people, or at least half of that watching your live? I don't know. Something ain't right.
And we ain't even talk about 300,000. We talk about 300.
I don't trust the internet. I don't trust the internet because it's a bunch of smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just try to keep it organic as much as possible. You know, and just keep it, you know, organic, man. Because, you know, man, you'll never know, man, like, you know, how the game is going to change even in the next 10 years with technology. They're using technology to change a lot of the way how we deliver music now. You know, Kanye just made a stem player. So I don't know what's coming next. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah, it's just, you know, man, we you know, with all this crypto and the NFT world right now, it's definitely a new thing. So, you know, people are trying to understand it. You know, artists are trying to find ways to put out music in different formats. So, mm-hmm. you know, we'll see what happens. See what happens in the next 10 years, you know what I mean? Maybe Elon Musk could come out with a record label. We'll never know where we had it.
Yeah, the evolution is crazy. Like it's scary but crazy at the same time. So we didn't think it was going to be this far, to where you could just get a whole album and a catalog within the click of a button.
Oh, and a Method Man just came out with some kind of thing. I don't know. I forgot the name of it. But he said mm-hmm. artists could own 100% of their publishing. So, yeah, that's
okay.
The, that's something that, you know, has always been stressed. Know about your fucking publishing, you know?
Yes.
And that's something that I'm going to look into. I don't know too much info on it, but I'm going to look into that. You heard Method Man doing it.
Yeah. Shout out to Jazzy Rosa, manager of the Eastsiders. We had him on a couple months ago. And Jazzy is like one of the most – to say the dude is smart is disrespectful, because the dude is so much more. I mean, that dude is awesomely astute in terms of the business, breaking down everything in terms of your publishing, you know, getting your royalty. When you look at it, A, from what the game was then when you came in, how has the criteria for rappers changed in reference to – because back in the day, and shout out to Richie Rich, you know, Uncle Rich out in the Bay, Oakland specifically. He talked about how back in the day, the OGs, because you were putting on for the town. And then also, too, they were financing a lot of these guys' studio time and everything. So the OGs weren't letting you get in the studio, let alone put anything out, until they knew you were ready. And you came from that New York era of excellence. When you look at that era you came out with, because we want to get back to how Run DMC, when you went on tour there and prepared you for the rigors of, you know, the industry life. But when you look at the era you came up in, KRS, Rakim, X-Clan, you know, Public Enemy, you know, LL, you know, later on, Nas, Jay-Z, Biggie, rest in peace, you know, of course, Kane. What did you see of the difference of y'all ascent coming in to where you're seeing artists come in now?
Well, you know, that era, you know, we ain't never coming back. You know, that's only a one-time thing. That was a special moment with Brooklyn gave the game. I felt like Brooklyn MCs contributed a heavy amount of arsenal to hip-hop, you know? And we, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just knew, you know, this is what was... It was going to be big. I already knew it was going to be big, but other people doubted it. But you know, when Big came out, you know, the era of New York, everybody was going to the tunnel. Everybody was hitting the clubs back then. There was a lot of clubs open.
Adolf, I'm laughing when you say tunnel, because we heard the stories about the tunnel.
Yeah, it was wild in there. It was a jungle in there, real jungle, you know what I'm saying? Like a big jungle, five boroughs and Jersey heads in the same building, you know what I'm saying? Shootouts, stabbings, all kinds of stuff, man, happening in there, man. That place was a den of danger. And I've been there, man, you know, when Biggie performed in there live and all that, you know what I'm saying? I was up in there, like, you know, it was more of a controlled thing with flexing them and, you know, God bless the dead DJ Big Cat, you know, spinning in there every Sunday. You know, I've been in there, man, nothing but killers and gangsters. You know what I mean? Playing the wall. You know what I'm saying? I got cut in there. I got stabbed in there. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Lord.
I got stabbed in there. In my neck.
Oh.
Word.
Ooh.
I survived the stabbing in there. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? I made it out alive. You know what I'm saying? Real G's do real things, you know what I mean? We survive shit, nothing but a scratch, too, you know what I mean?
And you know, his, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, but, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, man, I've been out there, man, in these streets, man, really living this rap shit. What I say is real, man. I don't fabricate nothing. I'm really from the hood. I've really been through a lot in this life. And you know what I'm saying? We you know what I mean? We out here trying to make it better, man, through this music. So, you know, back then, man, I just witnessed too much to not survive in this era. You know what I mean? Like, people talk about COVID. I'm like, man, fuck all that. We've been through AIDS, Ebola. Man, you know what I'm saying? We've been through all that shit. You know what I mean? We still surviving, man. You know what I'm saying? By the grace of the Most High, man, we still here. You know what I'm saying?
And I think a lot of heads, that's what they got to understand. Go ahead, King. Go ahead.
Yeah. To build off that, man, it was also, we were just built different, man, because we had to really go out there and interact and make things done. You wasn't really, we were operating through the safety net of an iPhone or a laptop. Like, you had to be out there and experience life.
And, you know, back, I come from an era where, you know, the 5% Nation was heavy in Brooklyn. Heavy, you know, and, you know, you had to have your knowledge of self right. You know what I'm saying? You had to know the days mathematics.
Yeah.
You had to know, you know, the science. You know, you had to know how to build, destroy. And you know what I mean? You know, understand how to, you know, the world worked. And in these days when we didn't have none, we were surviving on welfare. You know, I come from a real poor place. You know what I mean? So I didn't have, you know, the equipment. I didn't have the equipment like I do now. I really had to makeshift things to do stuff. So, you know, coming from that, man, you know what I mean? I always, you know, remember when I had nothing. You know what I'm saying? And now it's like we in a game where, you know, young cats is rich. They get paid, but they dying. As soon as they get paid, they dead. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? It's just kind of crazy how this game is now. So, you know, we just stay out the way and just stay making music and just stay out the way because, you know, we know that, you know, it's a master plan to use hip-hop and make these kids go more crazy and not build their lives in a positive format because they trapped with a bunch of confusion and violence. You know what I mean? Because the only thing they know right now is violence. And that's the only thing that people is going to respect, they feel. So I gave it to you raw right there, bro.
And when you think about it, because we come from an era where the attitude, the dress, the mannerisms are totally different. we see the style of dress that has become questionable, to say the least.
Emasculate, is that the right word?
Yeah, emasculation. Yeah. Yes.
That's
what's
going
on. What are your feelings
on
that? Mm-hmm.
Well, hip-hop, you know, I'm going to just say this. If you look at Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, how they used to dress in Bambaataa, and the Soul Sonic Force used to dress, you know, they used to wear leather pants and shit and all that. You know, if you look at their old flicks, you know, but my thing is, you know, it's all about the whole level of how you want to be seen and viewed and, you know, for sex appeal reasons and marketing reasons that they're dressing like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all about, you know, like the label, once the label signs you, They can dress you in anything they want to because they paid all that money. You know what I'm saying? They paid all that bread, you know, for you to, you know, for you to, they paid all that money for you to be, you know, on a label and all that. But then once you sign your name to them, they can do whatever they want with your career. You can do a video and they can edit it and do whatever. So it's not really, I don't think it's a lot of ultimately the artist's decision sometimes how they, you know, dress even. You get what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Like, yeah. Like they hit you with a bunch of stylists, you know what I mean, to try to give you an artistic look. These stylists don't know you from a can of paint. They ain't
right
about knowing
right
you. They don't know you. They want to get their bread. They're working for the label. So
right
when they pull you through that little system, you understand what I'm saying? They throw you through that system. You have no control over how you dress even. I've seen it. You know what I mean? Like,
what did you find? Yeah, what did you find?
I know how it's an industrial, you know, this industry just has its own ways of changing the artists and developing them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember looking at pictures of Britney Spears looking like a toothpick.
Right.
Before,
right.
You know, before she blew up, I was looking at real pictures of Britney Spears, like actual photos of her being developed into the sexy Britney. The early Britney was this little skinny girl. You understand what I'm saying? And,
yeah.
You know, I just feel like, you know, now artists are showing that, you know, even with, you know, how they come out and how they look, they influence the culture. You know, artists are influential. If they see their favorite rapper wearing a skirt, they're going to go do it too. You know? You know, when Kanye did the skirt thing, other rappers came out, athletes came out wearing skirts or quilts, as you know, whatever they want to say. But I ain't wearing no quilt. You understand what I'm saying? That's not me. I'm not trying to be the dude wearing a quilt to make me seem like I'm part of some, you know, part of some brotherhood that really don't exist. Or maybe, you know, people need an identity, going through an identity crisis. You know?
Yeah, it's also when these guys get that certain status, you know, they change up. They change up the entourage. They start getting different stylists, more of them Euro stylists, and they started wearing weirdo shit. So it started really coming across like that.
I mean, Kanye, you know, I respect him as, you know, as a musician, you know, incredible dude. But them sneakers, I'm not wearing them shits, bro. I'm sorry.
I love you, bro.
I hope the best for you, but your sneakers is not. I wear a pair of spot belts, man. You know what I mean? I'm gonna bring back the old kicks. You know what I mean? The Avias, the high top joints. You know what I mean? I come from everywhere. It wasn't just Nikes. You know what I'm saying? It was Pumas. It was spot belts. You know what I'm saying? We Brooklyn niggas, we so much different on the flavor. We made this culture. You know, New York niggas know what it is. Everybody added their own wave. But Brooklyn niggas added a major piece. I mean, Jay-Z from here. Come on. So.
Yeah.
We move different out here, man. Come from zero, you know what I mean? Chip in the bar, you know what I mean? Chop and cheese zero, you know what I mean? You know, like, there's a whole different lifestyle here that still exists in the OGs, you know, some older New Yorkers that still out here that live in New York that come from the era still here, Shout out to everybody that can pack up and leave. You know what I'm saying? But it's just a reality, man. Like, you know, you got to protect your originality. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm about, protecting what I have before they, you know, try to, like, erase the history. But I got a documentary coming out soon, real soon. I don't want to spoil that on a date because I don't have a release date. But, you know, we're going to get into, you know, the process of Aguilar. You know what I mean? How I
definitely
did all of this. You know what I mean? It was just really me being, you know, in situations at the right time. You know what I mean? Me and Busta. You know, me and you know, Shan or Craig G are rocking alongside these dudes in clubs. You know, Talib Kweli, Mos Def. You know what I'm saying? We all came up together. Me and Talib and Mos came up together in Washington Square Park. A lot of people don't know this, but we all used to rock together. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
Like Mos Def used to buy his hamburgers from McDonald's because we had no job. But we would be out there rhyming all day, ciphering. I mean, you know what I mean? ICU, KRS-One brother was homeless out there. He used to see us and you know, see me, be like, nigga, you got some shit. And took me to the studio. I met Bobby Crawford. He let me record, you know, a demo, and that demo wound up getting signed to Tommy Boy. But, you know, overall, man, it was like, you know, we all come from a ground of real hip-hop heads that was there in that park. Supernatural, MC Supernat, he was there. And, you know, they all tell you, man, I dealt a lot of death blows to a lot of rappers back then. And that's where I come from, Adolf the Assassin. You know what I mean? I was always a very competitive MC. You know, and I battle anybody. I ain't care who you was. You know what I'm saying? And that's how I was, you know, as an artist then. I still got that same hunger times 10 right now because I feel like I never came out. So that's why you're hearing a lot of this dope shit come out now. Everything happened for a reason. I feel like, you know, throughout the years, heads knew I was dope. They knew I was crazy ill with it, but they ain't want to deal with it. You know what I mean? So now I'm like, you know, I had to make my own way. You know, the industry changed. They don't give out big budgets no more. So I got to do it, you know what I mean, from my standpoint, and push hard because, you know what I mean? It's like nobody ain't going to do it for you. You got to do it for yourself. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Everybody got the same 24 hours. So I just hope I can keep the marathon running, brothers. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. Exactly. Exactly. I want to shoot this to you, too, man. Like, when you started working on your first album, you will wrap your lips around this dope album, man. Now, the reason why it didn't really come out the way it did, because you didn't, with your name, Adolf, it kind of ran through a little funk with the labels.
Nah, at the end of the day, I mean, more or less, like, I had management at the time, YZ, the rapper YZ was my management. We had 18 labels.
I was in the Source Unsigned Hype
alumni in the Source magazine. When Maddie C wrote the article on me, In the Source, the 1995 November issue with Dr. Dre on the cover.
Yeah, I have it.
Labels started paying attention. I started getting calls from all kind of labels and everything. Wanted to sign me, meetings, took meetings, everything, all that. And then the ones that we found that was the right label, we thought we could run with Tommy Boy. But we made that mistake because they had De La Soul and they had Queen Latifah on there, and they had Naughty by Nature. And they were trying to have a second run. and they signed me during that second run. So I got caught up in that politics of not getting released because of that situation. So I wound up going over to Elektra. Sylvia Rome gave me a deal, and I put out Ghetto Girl over there. They were on the brink, though, of losing their label because they signed too many artists under a budget.
So up, y'all, because
I took that situation. I took the situation and ran with it, and it made the best of it. That album got produced under that label, which is a classic. And, you know, I feel, you know, like years later, right after that, I went independent with Game Records. Started releasing singles with them. And, you know, I just, you know, went back to producing, and that's when I got with the Diplomats. And we started that whole run.
That was with the Purple City. That would bring about Purple City, correct?
Right. Me, Shikes, Bubba, and Uncasa.
Definitely. Now, what went on that with that situation in turn? Go ahead, go ahead.
Well, God bless the dad, my homie, D. Doubler, who was friends with Shikes. We had a, you know, we had a good relationship. And, you know, he would invite me down to come check him out in Manhattan where Cam'ron and Juelz and Jim Jones was hanging out at. So I would come down there, you know what I mean, shoot the shit with them, you know what I mean, for a bit. And then it came to their knowledge that I was an MC and I made beats. So, you know, they heard my music. They were like, yo, dude, dope. Chase like, I'll get you on the Diplomat Volume 5 mixtape. I was like, all right, get me on there. You know what I mean? I wasn't really kind of like promoting my music. I was doing a lot of, like, I was just living a normal life at that time. And I wound up, you know, me and Shice wound up developing a relationship. And basically about a year later in that relationship, he came to me and said, y'all want to do a rap group. Me, you, and Un. I was like, all right, where your rhymes at? He had no rhymes. He's like, you know what I mean? He wanted me to help him write the rhymes. So I was like, all right. And, you know, I didn't really think too much of it. But I was like, all right, you know what? Fuck it. I just, you know what I mean? Started helping him because he wanted me to, you know what I mean? He wanted me to help him do music. So, you know, then we put out our first mixtape. You know, he was rocking with the Diplomats. He had the relationship with Jim. I didn't have no relationship with Jim. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't really have a relationship with him. My relationship was with my homie, Z-Dub and Shice. So when the time came, you know, it was like, oh, this is his song. You know, but they wasn't, you know, trying to really sign me or nothing like that, you know, which was dumb. I feel they could, you know what I mean, we could have made some big business happen, being that I was making noise on their mixtapes. I was on all their mix, like a lot of their mixtapes. So, you know, when the albums came around, I wasn't on those because of politics and shit. So me and Shice did Purple City, and we started kind of like rivaling Dipset a little bit, you know? And it was like they were putting out mixtapes, we put out a mixtape. You know, it was like, you know, but we was all, you know, down with each other, and, you know, but it was still competitive. Like, they just dropped, like, he'd be like, oh, shit, Cam just dropped Purple City. But where did, I mean, he just Purple Haze, the album. But we was on our Purple shit. How did Cam get, you know what I mean? Cam ran with our shit. And I love Flea, but he ran with our own shit because that was our shit, Purple City.
Right. Now, so, when you think, go ahead.
But I guess, you know, Cam, he was doing it right. I guess he flipped it, you know, Cam like that, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to him. But at the end of the day, we didn't know what we had. So we did the first album, and then we, you know what I mean? After that, things went kind of downhill because the hype on us was there. It was just that we didn't know how to receive it. We didn't know how to, you know, facilitate it. You know, we was from the streets at that moment. So we just like, you know, it was a lot of things happening, a lot of changes happening at that time.
Definitely.
Max B.
Now, what did you?
Yeah. Max B just came home, and you know, Dipset was getting the more of a bigger name, and when he came home, he built his own empire. He was with Dip for a minute, but he realized he was only gonna go but so far, so he took the center to rock with French Montana. You know. There's, you know, there's a lot of craziness that happened, man, with that whole era.
Right. Now, we want to get back to a couple things, Zay, because we want to talk about, in terms of how you said the meeting, in terms of the group eventually happened. We're not going to name names, but we see how situations sometimes where, look, we've seen groups break up that came up together. How dangerous can it be when a group is kind of, it's not necessarily born out of everybody knowing each other, but more than a business arrangement, and then who is involved with that business putting that arrangement together?
Good question. I don't know Un. I didn't grow up with Un. We don't know each other. You don't know my family. I don't really know his family.
Right, we're talking about Lance Sun Rivera, same, right?
Same with Shice. I didn't grow with him. We ain't from the same block. So the loyalty right there was never really formed. It was really no loyalty formed between me and those individuals because we not from the same block. Number one, they from Harlem and I'm from Brooklyn. You know what I mean? It was always a difference of respect between the two boroughs throughout the years. You know what I mean? A lot of Harlem cats, Brooklyn cats, we really never got along because they, you know, they looked at us like we grimy, you know what I mean? You know, and they flashy, more fancier dudes in Harlem. So, you know, we realize that, you know, that the nature of New York, you know, it's the nature of New York. You know how it is. And, you know, I dealt with it, you know, when I was around them. I dealt with that a lot. You know what I mean? That energy, like, that's a Brooklyn nigga. You know, and I'm working with them, making music with them, but they didn't, I felt like they didn't appreciate what I brought to the table, and that's why I immediately stopped recording with them. And left everything alone. There was no real brotherhood there. There was no real loyalty. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I learned from it and I survived it. And, you know, I'm proud to say that, you know, I didn't take the beef route where I could have just, you know what I mean? It could have got ugly. You know what I'm saying? Many times it could have got ugly with them brothers. But I took the high road because, you know, I feel like I shouldn't have to put myself at another man's burden. You know what I mean? I'd rather, you know, do my own dream. And, you know, I wish all them brothers the best. You know what I'm saying? That's all you could do. You know what I mean? In this horrible industry, is with somebody the best. Hope they don't wish you less.
Now,
that's the best way to handle it, too.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And shout out to you, A, because you know, as a man, you understood you know, that you didn't have to go to somebody else's level of where they were. Even though you were upset at the situation, you took it in stride, you kept moving. We want to talk about a second with Max B, because Max, shout out to Max, free Max Wavy, man. What was that like in terms of the impact that he had when he came home and when he really started catching that wave in New York, man? Because, I mean, when he, can you remember when Max started, he just started, like, blitzing everything out there?
Max did a lot of time in jail. In jail, you know what I mean? It's all you got is time. So, you know, being that he's been in there for a while, you know, I'm sure he got hits waiting to come out. He's supposed to see the board soon.
Because when we first heard Max back in the day before he went in, before he went in on that other case, we heard some of Max's mixtapes and we were like, oh my god,
Max definitely was around just trying to find his way, you know what I mean? And Jim, you know, him and Jim had their relationship that went sour,
right?
You understand?
Right.
And when that went sour, we all got alienated through that relationship, and it made us look weak because they didn't know how to handle that like grown men, and let certain shit get on some old crazy shit. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Like
it didn't
have to go that route. You understand me? Like, you know, when you're around other rappers, you don't know their entourage, who they got with them, who they rolling with. And that's the thing. That's also another thing, because everybody bringing their own entourage with them when they on to these kind of things. Like all these, everybody in Dipset had damn near their own entourage. So,
man,
it is what it is. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got Jim. He had Bergman. He had Purple City. Cam had Diplomats. Chuels had Skull Gang. You understand what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? Like, everybody had their own entourages with their own people. Some of them people don't get along with each other. Some people don't rock with each other in these entourages. So, you know, it is what it is. You know what I mean? And, you know, me, I just try to do business, you know, and stay out the way. You know what I mean? Because the nature of this of the personal game, if you get too personal with some of these dudes, they'll use it against you. You know?
That's fact.
Like me and Un. Like me and Un. I'm going to just keep it a bean. He said something about my mom's. You know?
Say what?
My mom's. He said something about my mom's one day. And got bought to my attention. He went on his rent. Yeah, he went on his rent. And he got, you know, I guess he was, I don't know, you know, like me and him, we had no real relationship to where I could say that's my friend.
Got you.
Like, we made music together, but I can't say that man is my friend after what he said about my mom's. And then when I came to New York, I was like, yo, I went trying to look for him. I said, yo, what's good? You know what I mean? And I hit him up, and all that. But like I said, man, like, dudes don't want to smoke. You know what I mean? Leave my mom's name out your mouth. You know what I mean? We don't want to do that. I ain't no passive dude. You know, at the end of the day, I don't know if you can ever show face around me, because now I never said nothing about your mom. But see, that's how petty the game is. It's how petty the game is. So, after the fact, you know, I'm going to just show you how the rise and fall. The rise and fall, I'm going to give it to y'all.
Gotcha.
What? All right. So, when Max came home, back on Max, he was going through problems with Jim. We all know that. He said something about Jim's wife. It got out of hand. You know, on the record, whatever, that was their business. You understand what I'm saying? I had nothing to do with none of that. I don't know, you know what I mean? I don't know Chrissy. I don't know Jim like that. I just work with him. I met him a few times. We worked together. I don't got Jim's number. He don't got mine. You all right? That part. So, boom, boom, boom. You know, I'm in the studio. We in the studio recording this album, whatever, whatever. Me and Shice is doing this business together. So, you know, one day I'm in the studio, you know, and I'm mixing a record. You know, I'm mixing a record at the board. You know, Shice asked me, you know, we just, you know, we're having a conversation, and he asks me, he says, yo, Shice Buff, he goes, yo, Ag, what's up, man? Where the girls at? You know what I mean? Yo, call some girls too. I'm like, bro, I'm working on an album. Well, I'm going to call girls too to distract me while I'm working on the album. And then Unchimes in, he goes, yeah, Ag, where the girls at? That's when I stopped the music right there. And I looked at her and I said, yo, bro, you better not even be talking, because my girl told me that you trying to holler at her. The girl I was with at the time, Desiree Getter. The girl I was at the time, she told me that I'm trying to holler at her. I'm like, I'm trying to holler at you. She said, don't do nothing to him. I was like, what? I was like, he trying to holler at you and you know you my wife at the time? Oh. Now I'm upset. So I said, where the girls at to me, right? Then I got infuriated. I said, bro, don't you dare talk no bullshit to me, bro. Because at the end of the day, my girl told me that bullshit. You know what I mean? I should fuck you up in here. You know what I mean? For that bullshit. You know what I mean? Don't even holler at me about, you should go get the bitches. You the gopher, nigga. That's when I got on my bullshit. You know what I mean? Then I try to choke Un out right in the studio.
Oh.
And then, you know what I mean? Try to choke the air out of him because he disrespected me by hollering at my girl behind my back. You heard? I don't play that. And when he did that, he peeled my, Chase and him peeled, had to peel my hands from his neck. He was about to go to sleep MMA style. You heard? And, you know what I mean? After that, I just stopped fucking with them. You know what I mean? I just left it alone. I didn't want to deal with them no more. I just went and got my deal for Chuck Wilson. Creep-ass motherfucker, Chuck Wilson, went and got my solo deal, said, I'm going to do my own album. You can put them niggas out, do whatever the fuck you want with them niggas, I'm done. Bingo. Burnt, soon as that shit tried to go up, I set the match to the flame and burnt that shit back down. Y'all can have that shit. You go do Smokers Club and do all that other shit. I'm good, nigga. I do real music over here, real bars. I write my own shit.
Yeah,
I ain't gotta try to be hurt.
And it's funny, Abe, what you say in that situation, because, and we can only say this on the air because we know this happened. We're not gonna talk about it word for word about what happened with Un and Jay back in '99 with the whole bootlegging incident. For those that know, they know. I would have thought Un learned his lesson by then about you don't cross.
No, that's not that Un Casa from
Un Casa. Okay, Uncasa, got you. Okay, wrong gun. Okay, got you. Thank you for that clarification. Thank you. Okay, but yeah, between men, though, you would think that he would understand that just from being from the street, there are certain things that you don't do. And let alone, especially, how it's going to get back to you. I'm not going to say that was I don't want to ask the question of what was it like when you saw the situation in terms of the bad side of the game because you saw before. But did
that
just kind of
crystal? I'm going to keep the story going. Let's keep the story going. Right, right. So, you know, after that, you know, I still was around, you know, after that situation, I still was around doing shit. But then on the second album, when they called me in, I was like, look, I just did 3 songs on this album. I have no other part of anything. I went to the interview on my own shit. They tried to interview See, right? This interview is in Koch Records, right? They was asking me questions, asking unquestions, asking anybody questions. Came in there like, he ain't want no part of nothing. Like, they started asking me questions. I was like, I don't know what y'all want me to say. I'm not in no group, man. I'm just Aguilar, you know what I mean? I'm just a producer, an artist, representing myself. You know what I mean? That's all I do. Purple City was not a group. It's a business arrangement. So when I said that shit blew the room away. You heard? Like, it was like, you heard crickets on the interview. Chase looked at me like he couldn't do shit. Cause, you know, I'm a gangster too. You know what I mean? So all that gangster shit don't fly over here. Like, I've been through all that already. So I'm like, I'm looking at him like, what you want me to say, bro? It's your shit. I was like, you know what I mean? You should do the talking. It's all your shit. You did not pay me to be here. You know what I mean? Then, you know, you want to call me, like, yo, want to put the group back together? I'm like, bro, where the bag at? I need a huge bag if you want me to be involved. Other than that, get off my phone. We ain't got nothing to talk about. So, you know what I mean? That's what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really don't have no loyalty toward that entity. It ain't no loyalty there for me to, you know, say that, oh, yeah, we did something great. We had great times. No, we didn't. It really was just smoke and mirrors in front of a lot of artists. You see smoke and mirrors, man. Think everybody, your homie, to that bread come around. And watch how they treat you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I mean, that's the game. That's
the nature
of the business.
They change with that bag,
huh? Yeah. I mean, one thing about it, what advice would you tell artists today in terms of how they handle business and their associations because, you know, you got DJ Khaled who said years ago, no new friends. You know, he's sticking with the crew that he started with. You know, shouts and respect to Fat Joe and the Terror Squad and so many others. What do artists have to understand about what this business entails, about how things can and inevitably will change?
Oh, say that again, that last piece?
Yeah, how the game can and inevitably will change for an artist coming into the business. What do artists need to understand with it?
That this is a business. You got to understand, you know, everybody's got to be on their understanding fact of how to handle music business is very complicated because there's so many ways to get paid. And not just only being an artist, but as a producer as well, you got to start understanding the fact that, you know, this is an art, but then people got to make a living out of this shit. And, you know, we got to understand that it's a billion-dollar industry. So don't let nobody pull wool over your head like ain't no money there or nothing. Jay-Z and everybody eating off of this shit. You know what I mean? I mean, you got motherfucking DJ Khaled who getting a Walk of Fame star, but no DJ Premier don't get one. That, you know what I mean? That's some bullshit. You understand what I'm saying? Like, motherfuckers is a bunch of niggas skipping the line with the cheat code right now. You know what I'm talking about? So,
right.
I don't feel like if you got to cheat to get there, do what you got to do. And that's how you move. I ain't going to be known as a cheater, though. I'm going to be known as a nigga that put in hard fucking work to get where I got. So I don't know if niggas want to do the hard work anymore. Some niggas just want to cheat their way there. So it's just, you know, it's just how you got to do it on your own, man. You got to really look in the mirror yourself and say, yo, where's my audience? Who my audience? And stay in your lane, man. That's really the best thing to build your lane if you ain't got one. build it. It will come. You know what I mean? Watch that movie, Field of Dreams. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. You need the inspiration. Be around people that's going to give you inspiration, good inspiration, and be around, build your team. You know what I mean? Build a team of dudes that believe in the dream that's going to keep it focused. Get around people that are on that same type of time.
Absolutely.
Once you get around
people
that ain't on your time, you're going to start, you know, just giving yourself nothing but space for people to come in your life to ruin what you got going. You know what I'm saying? So you got to just utilize, utilize your branding and your marketing the best way you can. You know what I mean? You can be a raw MC, but you're going to need some kind of appeal. You know what I mean? Something. In this day and time, you know, it got to get curated properly. Excuse me.
Definitely.
It got to get curated properly. You know, that's one thing that don't understand is the curation of their music, how it's going to get heard, how it's going to be received after you make it. And, you know, you just got to stop sitting in the crib making songs and let some shit sit in your computer. You know, there's DJs all over the world. You know what I mean? And that's what I strongly consider, that people connect with the DJ as much as possible to get their music heard. Or become a DJ and play your own shit. So,
exactly.
You know,
right. It's all about connecting with the gatekeepers.
Yeah,
the real
and, you
legit
know,
gatekeepers.
Yeah, the gatekeepers, you know what I mean? I have no interest in, you know what I mean? I have no interest in gatekeepers because ain't nothing holding me back. Ain't nothing holding me back. And I say that, you know what I mean? I say that because my skill set speaks in volumes. So I know when I do something, when I put my all in it, it is definitely... it's definitely going to be on a higher level. You know what I mean? I'm not industry controlled, but I can hang with any of your top five, and they all know I'm dangerous. Eminem know I'm dangerous. Jay know I'm dangerous. Nas know I'm dangerous. They know I'm dangerous. I can't get mentioned in these conversations because, you know what I mean, I built my own lane, and I produce way more material, you know what I'm saying, than the average Joe. You know what I mean? Let's keep it honest. You know what I mean? My skill set, my catalog, definitely dangerous. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to say dangerous. You know what I'm saying? That's all I got to do in this game. You know what I mean? That's what I tell people, stay dangerous. You know what I mean? Rise up and stay dangerous, brother.
Hey, you know what's dope too, man, is that this is what's dope too, man, is that we all heard of the situation. The world already saw the situation, what happened with the Will Smith and Chris Rock situation. I think you were the first to put that shit on a track. That was hilarious. And you were rapping from the perspective of Will Smith. That was pretty creative right there.
Yeah, I did it right on the spot, you know. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, like, you know, I didn't do it because of, you know, try to boost my name and all that. But at the end of the day, I'm a creative person, and I feel like, you know, when I seen the situation, I needed to bring light to it in a fashion where, you know, people think you can just, you know, them dudes is human too. You know, just because they got millions and they had award shows, you know what I mean? Nigga live with his wife. You know what I mean? I live with my girl. You know what I mean? I got to deal with shit too. You know what I mean? Like, you feel me? Like, you know, we don't want to watch two black icons go to war, but the media make it that. And I feel like, you know, we don't know what that man been going through with all that entanglement with the August Augustine situation. You know what I mean? What he was going through, how he feeling. You know what I mean? So how that woman make him feel less of a man like that.
Right, right.
You understand what I'm saying? And then the question started rising, you such of a great dude in acting, but how about your home life? How is that? Seems to me that he is not really a life. It's really something that he signed up for. You know, because, you know, with the alopecia thing, the joke that Chris, I get it, but if he read the script and if he knew that was coming, and you know what I mean? Like, if he read
somebody
the script beforehand,
if
he read the script beforehand, he should have never said that joke. So he had fault too,
right?
Obviously,
and you know,
why the fuck I'm gonna
go?
I ain't gonna go up on your award show and not read the script beforehand. You understand what I'm saying? Like, that's
right,
an award,
right.
So they give you a script beforehand and they make you read it. I'm like, shit, if I was on there about Jada, I'm like, bro, don't do that shit. Nah, that's too touchy right there. I'd have been smarter.
Yeah.
But.
And, yeah, and you're right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's
just really upsetting for our community that we have to, you know, go through that. But, you know, hopefully we can learn from this. And, you know, that man could get back on with his life soon. And they can get back on with their life because I ain't getting no money from it. I can't put out the record because they ain't clear the sample. But, you know, everybody loved the joint. And they wound up doing their own version. Shout out to all the cats that did their own version of the Aguilar Challenge. They'll keep my wife's name out your mouth challenge. So it built its own following. It went viral. You know what I mean? Because, you know, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? But it's hip-hop, too. You know, we can't forget Will Smith is a hip-hop head. So, keep it a B.
Yeah, man. And it just goes to show that's what we do. Because, you know, back then when we have current events or situations like that happening, it used to be going with the punchlines. You know what I'm saying? Because Red used to be crazy with that. Red and Eminem, they used to see what was going on, what was happening, and just put a funny punchline, like a tongue-in-cheek situation there. So listen to that joint, took me back to that.
Right. Yeah, it gave me that feel of you know, we don't want to just talk about situations that don't make sense, you know. The message got to be in there. I ain't just rapping to be rapping. I got to rap by the message, man. I got to rap. I got to put a message in my joint. You feel me?
Yeah,
putting the message in there, man. Had that message in there for the people.
Definitely.
So they can get that knowledge.
Definitely. You know, we think about your distinguished career in the game, A. Who have you not worked with that you still want to work with?
I never really – I don't really have, like, a favorite artist that I want to work with right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I did a lot, man. If you look at my resume, man, I worked with all the – only person I have yet to work with is Rakim. Really. Like, if I ever work with the God, that'd be, you know, we supposed to do something, but I'm, you know, still waiting. But I'm working with his son right now, which is the closest thing I can get to Rakim. I'm working with his son, actually. His son is on
my
album.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I always looked up to Rob Bars, man. Always been a fan of Rakim Bars, that dude right there. And I worked with Kane already. I worked with G-Rap. I worked with KRS-One already. Those are dudes I look up to. You know, I just feel like the now artists, maybe Kendrick, maybe Joey Badass, there's other artists that I would like to work with that, but you know, I mean, I'm really trying to find a couple names that I recently, you know, I've been working with this guy named Bub Styles from Boar's Head. He's dope. He's from Brooklyn. A new cat that I've been working with named Skip Live. Y'all heard him on the fire as I played that earlier. There's a lot of other artists, man, on the come up, on the rise. You know, I'm just basically putting a lot of ideas together, you know. And my new album, oh, yeah, there's this kid that I'm about to work with named Body Bag Ben. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he's dope. He's out from out west, Oxnard, California. Check for him.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm just, you know, like I said, man, running a micro brewery over here at Propane Campaign. You know what I'm saying? We on tour, the Tiger Tour. It's like, you know, you got to just keep the pressure on. You know what I'm saying? Shout to DJ Premier.
Man, I mean, and you've
done
so much over the
years. It's all about making those contacts. Yeah, it's all about making them contacts because, you know, we all know that the blackball effect is real. So knowing what your music standing out and the test of time and people rocking with, it's just a testament of how you move. So integrity wins at the end of the day.
Yeah, like, we you know, we understand, you know, that this business is a dog-eat-dog game. We understand that a lot of smoke and mirrors get put up, you know, fake alliances, ain't a lot of loyalty, you know what I mean? You know, a lot of people ain't built to last for this game, you know what I mean? I'm a dude that lasted a couple hours already, and I'm still here making fire music. So I feel like the sky's the limit for me, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? And I got a lot of things that are awesome still yet that I haven't unleashed yet. But I'm gonna start drilling a hole even more deeper for dudes, you know what I mean? Like, as far as the catalog, I'm gonna drill the hole a lot more deeper this year. And, you know, it's just gonna be, you know what I mean, I'm gonna have fun with it, man. You gotta have fun with it. You know what I'm saying? And I just feel like, you know, now, you know, shout to my manager, Jimmy Kane. Shout to Wu-Tang Management. Well, I'm under Wu-Tang Management right now, so I'm just putting myself at, you know, trying to reset everything, the whole way Aguilar has been viewed, the way I've been treated in this business, unfair. I'm an unsung hero. At this point in my career, I feel like I'm very unsung. And, you know, right now, you know, the story going to come out. I need to write a book about all these experiences. You know what I mean? And really show the world that, man, that, you know, I'm not no overnight success. You know, it was a long, long road, a lot of struggles. A lot of changes over the years that happened to me, my family, a lot of things that people don't know. My mom's was murdered. A lot of people don't know that. So I'm ready to speak on it in this book, and just, you know, really give them a glimpse on who I really am. And who the man Aguilar is, you know what I'm saying? Who the man Aguilar is, and show the world you can make it, you know what I'm saying? Straight out of Brownsville, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? I come from B34 Blake Avenue, Brownsville Projects. Make no mistake. You know what I mean? I was born in Kings County Hospital. So, you know, it all stems from there. All stems from the Ville. Straight up.
when you think about your history, Adolf, and everything you've been through, how important was it for you to forge ahead with the documentary and the book in terms of really, really, really being able to tell your story from your words, from your real reality? This is definitely a passion for you, and we can hear that in your voice. What inspired you to really get started on that project, on those projects, once you decided to do it?
Say that again.
I said, in terms of everything you've been through, and you for undertaking the process of documenting your life in the book and in the upcoming film, what was the moment that really crystallized for you? Like, yo, I really, really, really got to tell my story.
Well, moving to California prompted me to do that. When I went to L.A., when I moved to L.A. 13 years ago, basically, my life changed. You know, the way I seen things, the way I was listening to music, the West Coast gave me influenced me, to change my sound up a bit. And, not so much my sound, but so much the way I was producing my sound, and as far as how I was kind of like going about making my music. And I basically took that and implemented, made relationships out west. Shout out to Planet Asia. Me and Asia got, we connected, did a lot of music with Gold Chain. And, that started making a lot of noise out west. And we connected. Me and a producer named Dirty Diggs connected. Shout out to Dirty Diggs, him and Noy One. They had their own kind of sound with these loops. And I was like, all right, let's do something, and we wound up doing a few projects with them. So, my name out west started to get more known. Then I met another producer named Duke Westlake, and we did a project called 3-Day Theory. That was under Alpha Pup Records, the Order label, which is Daddy Kev and the Low End Theory scene is L.A. That was like a hot honor for me to do that album, to have Daddy Kev, Grammy Award winning engineer mix down that album. And I just embraced the L.A. community. The L.A. community embraced me. And, I felt like the hip-hop that I loved to listen to was being more developed there. And I wasn't hearing that in New York. You know what I mean? It was leaving New York and going other places. So, that really brought a whole different systematic change, I felt, to me, the L.A. scene. And when I went out there, it just kind of like gave me a whole new look on my music, whole new look on how to hustle my music. And I took that West Coast mentality and bought it with my East Coast mentality, you know what I'm saying? But, it's just the process, man. Like, with making these albums, I met this dude named Bishop. Me and him got together, and I felt like he understood what his ear, he knew how to put songs together and make sure they all sound together. Make sure your music sound right. The tracks, one track complements every other track complements the other. You understand what I'm saying? So that's one thing he told me. Everything got to complement each other. And that's when I started really drilling down these projects. One of Just Blaze, Just Blaze, his favorite album of mine is Year of the Water Dragon. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he he always recites Shark Meat off of it. You know what I mean? And he loved that joint, but it's out to him. My whole thing is that you ain't, you know what I mean? I produce albums off a garage band, B, straight up. I didn't need to be in no big studio. I just needed the right people around me. Right energy around you gets you in the right place.
That's what it's all about, man. Just having the right frequency, the right motivation, topic at hand, and just let it flow from there. That's what it's all about, man. And also, it don't matter what the scenery, just as long as the vibe is right and long as you got the creative juices, everything is just in a flow motion.
Yeah, that's what we did, you know what I mean? Like, for the last 7 years when I was out in L.A., it was like albums, project after project. We made a statement, you know, and we still making one. We back on the East Coast now. We're making a statement back on the East Coast right now on tour. And, sky's the limit for Propane Campaign, you know, Propane Campaign versus everybody. You know, they slept on us. They doubted us. You know, right now, you know what I mean? We tore the house down the other day at a Red Man Method Man. We met, you know what I mean? Like, well, yesterday we met the man and Red Man. I just rocked with them yesterday. So I'm back out, man. Holla at me.
Definitely. And I mean, hey, you know, we're about to close in a little bit. Hey, this has been an honor, man. I mean, to hear your history, you know, to hear you talk so openly and candidly, man, and to know that you as a distinguished veteran in the game, that even with all the ups and downs, that you have not, you know, folded, you know, quit, you know, you've kept forging ahead and you've kept championing the cause of the culture, which we all love. In terms of where you see the culture going now, where do you see it headed in terms of where it's going to evolve to?
Hip-hop ain't going nowhere. We're going to keep the boom back forever alive. This is like rock and roll, brothers. Don't worry about it. It's not going nowhere. It's going to be here. You're going to hear a bunch of new cats spitting flows, new flows over the same boom bap that we came up on, you know, looking for Zelda, you know what I'm saying? They doing it, you know what I'm saying? Look at the Joey Badasses and, you know, a couple other cats, you know, they on the wave, you know, so it's always going to be here, you know, it's just going, you know, just going to see a lot of new faces. And new flows and new approaches. So, you know, I look forward to it. You know what I mean? Well, I'm just worried about what Propane Campaign is bringing to the table, and that's all I'm responsible for. So,
one,
you know, let's keep an eye out for that.
and we are pro propane on off the cuff, man. So you know you're welcome back anytime. That goes without saying. You know, any music that you got to send it to us. We're going to promote it. We're going to push it, you know, and we're going to make sure.
Yeah, the Year of the Tiger. Just keep this in mind. The only thing I'm dropping is the Year of the Tiger, the album, this year. That's probably the only album I'm dropping this year. And, yeah, just make sure you spread that word to your people. That is, I'm looking at a May release, so. You know what I mean? Definitely be on deck.
Yes, sir.
Go support that and go cop that. You know what I mean? So definitely go cop that. Going to be a lot of heat on it.
Yes, sir, man.
I got a Spectre deck on there. I got Pashawn on there. I got my man Terra Van Poo is on there. Yeah, and I got a couple more artists on there to be announced. My man Skip Live, he gonna be on there, and also Body Bag Ben, and I got a couple other more surprises. So Stay tuned.
Definitely, man. We definitely appreciate the
bill,
man.
Shout out to my manager, Jimmy King, for making this interview happen. Shout out to Wu-Tang Management.
Yeah, man.
You already know the whole family, man. Propane Campaign, we rising up. This is what it is.
Nothing, man. Agala, the Don Bishop, who preaches nothing but a reality. Adolf, who keeps letting off lyrically with the academic arsenal of all types of, you know, awesome lyrics. Thank you again. God bless the Most High. Yeah, man, keep doing what you do, man. And we're here to support. And, you know, don't let up, man. You know, you don't come too far.
Nah,
so keep doing
it. Nah, we here. That's not in the vocabulary. We got y'all, and we on the Tiger Tour. You know what I mean? Let everybody know they want to book Aguilar, hit up Jimmy King. You know what I mean? We come to your city and rock live. You know what I mean? Bring the whole tour. Shout out to my man Great God. You know what I mean? Shout out to everybody that was on the tour. You know what I mean? Cuzzo Soze. You know what I mean? My homie NAP Zombie Grind. Salute.
Definitely. And on that note, y'all, we're wrapping up another outstanding episode of OTC Off the Cuff Radio with our legendary.
That's right. That's right. Catch us tomorrow night. We got the legendary.
Yeah.
Definitely, man. Definitely, man. Catch us tomorrow night. We got the legendary JD from the Lynch Mob pulling up. And big shout out to you, Adolf, for, you know, building with us for the best 2 hours.
Yeah, shout out to JD. So shout out to JD and the chill. Shout out to JD and the chill. They're my people. You know what I mean? Go get that.
Yeah,
go get my brother. Go get my brother album Elephant out right now. Shout out to JD and the chill. Lynch Mob.
Yeah. Definitely.
All right, fellas, y'all have a good one.
You too, man.
You too, man. Keep pushing, bro.
Yeah.
Yes,
King,
sir.
Take us
stay
on.
Up. Salute.
Yes, sir.
And King, take us on out of here.
And we out. And Sandman would say, peace out, motherfuckers.